So what does wellness mean to you?
Welcome to another Wellness Wednesdays. I am your host, Eric Clark. This week, another special guest. We're doing this live from my kitchen. This is a special guest, and she's here not for a profession, but for her outsized lust for life. Welcome to Podcast and Broad.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We've been friends for a while now, and whenever I need a laugh, I just listen to you laugh. And then it just makes me laugh. If you ever need a friend to go to a comedy comedy show with, Jen is your woman. She's the life of the party just because of that wonderful laugh. But we're going to talk about a little more than that today. We're going to talk about your love for the outdoors, doing some solo stuff, which is where, you know, against what most people in society think is as sane. But that's why we love you for some of this stuff. So tell me, can you give us a little bit of the Coles Notes of, I know you come from the north and people up there really love the outdoors a little bit more than probably people from down here, but where did you get that love of the outdoors?
It was right from growing up, right from the time I was young. My parents had a camp that we stayed out at all summer long. So as soon as school was ended, they would pack us up and bring us out there, and we just live out there all summer. So there was no, you know, running water, no electricity. We were right on the water.
What did you do for Wi-Fi?
Oh, we didn't have that. Didn't really exist then. My dad now has something that you can rig up so you can get Wi-Fi, but I most of the time refuse to use it when I go back out there.
Well, it's a really good place to kind of unplug and kind of recharge, but a totally different way.
Yeah,
it's funny because I think obviously just as a bit of a generalization, but for the next generation, if you go somewhere that doesn't have Wi-Fi, it's kind of like, you know, you're putting them in the corner.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot of us, well, older-ish folks, going back to connect with, you know, the simpler days, as we call it, just going somewhere to just go fishing or go for a walk in the woods or all that kind of stuff, that's kind of like God's country. So what were some of the activities that you loved as a kid and you still, because I know you still like to do those today, so... Can you share with some of those?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely fishing is a number one for me. I don't even have to catch fish. I just love being out on the water.
Well, I was going to say, most people don't go fishing for the fish. They go fishing for the beer or the alone time, especially if you have a wife.
Yeah.
It's like, she can't yell at me when I'm in the middle of the lake.
So. Yeah, definitely fishing. Going for a canoe ride, just going for a walk. Just anything where it's you're just sort of away from normal stimulation, like a radio or a phone or even
microwave,
even other people, you know, going somewhere. I love going fishing with my dad because it's quite often where not a word is said in the boat the whole time. But it's one of those very comfortable silences that just is very rejuvenating.
It's so weird that most people have like this, I don't know, this need for words. And I personally love a silence, almost the point of being uncomfortable for a lot of people. I can do that, but I know for a lot of people, like as soon as it gets quiet, like, what's wrong?
Right.
And I remember being like, I get this from my mom. My mom's not, you know, well, I used to be a little quieter, but my mom just is like a woman of very few words, and she does her thing, and then she would go somewhere and be like, what's wrong with your mom? She's not talking. I'm like, no, that's actually means that she's enjoying herself and relaxing. Because a lot of people, they don't realize, but they talk when they're nervous.
Yeah.
And to actually be quiet and relax is very tough for the average person.
Yeah. I have a very social job where I do have to talk all the time. So I love the opportunity to just unplug and not have to say anything and not have to make small talk. So those moments where I can just really sort of like be alone with my thoughts and just kind of like reflect on the day are some of the most important times for me.
In the same way, I mean, a lot of people know me as a very jovial and bubbly kind of person, but a lot of times I'm really looking forward to going for a walk in the woods by myself or going, you know, watching a comedy special so that I just kind of relax and kind of take it all in. But yeah, no, it can be kind of draining when you're, especially some days when you don't feel like being on and you have to be on in your job.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with that?
Well, for the longest time, I would really just revert into solitude and almost to a point where I would say it wasn't necessarily healthy. So if I had a weekend, I would try and spend as much time of that weekend alone as humanly possible. And if I had like a commitment or an event to go to, I would sort of stress out of being like, okay, well, I have to be social. I have to make conversation. But the older I get, the more I realize that it's less about spending complete solitude, but more about those people that I bring into my life. So there are people where I can be in a mood where I want solitude, but can definitely have them around me, and they don't, like you said earlier, drain me. You know, so it's about being more selective about those people who I have around me, so that we can have those moments of comfortable silence, or just like if we need a walk in the woods, then we just walk in the woods, and it's not, we don't have to fill every moment with conversation. So the older I get, it's more about choosing the right people and the right energies to bring in, and less about 100% solitude. But I still love 100% solitude.
It's funny because as you get older, like you kind of differentiate between energy in and energy out activities. And I find part of it too is the mental set. Like if I, exactly what you just said, if I'm like, oh shit, I gotta go to this event, I don't really look forward to it, then like all day I'm, you know, like you're just working yourself out. Like,
yeah.
And you're kind of like basically psyching yourself up. Whereas now it's like, okay, let's just go and do it. And first comes to worst, I'll just have 7 drinks.
Yeah.
and then get through it. But no, most of the time, like especially with my job, I'm kind of professional, you know, networker, so I can kind of talk to just about anyone. But some days, even if I can do it, doesn't mean that I want to do it. I think if I had to choose, I'd probably be in the woods too, or by the water or something. Or,
yeah.
But it's unfortunately, I don't get paid to hang out in the woods most of the time, so it's kind of finding that balance. Going back to one of your many amazing assets is that laugh.
Yeah.
Have you always had that laugh?
I have always had this laugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always.
So since you were a little like a, you know, you're 3 months old.
As far as I can remember, I've
we'll have to get your mom on the podcast,
yeah.
and get her to,
and get her to attribute, yeah, to the fact. Yeah, as far as I know, this has always been my characteristic laugh.
Yeah. It's quite noticeable, and it's also very contagious. Like when you hear, like, I almost want to laugh.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm very jealous because, yeah, you have such a bubbling sense of laughter, whereas like, I mean, it's very, very rare where I laugh out loud,
right,
or like, it happens once in like every year maybe, where like I'm laughing so hard that I,
yeah,
have to like do a timeout and
shed a few tears.
Yeah, and like where I can't breathe. Whereas it seems like, and obviously I'm not with you every day, but it seems like that's like almost like a daily occurrence for you.
It really is. It's
so what do you attribute to? Is it because you're a happier person? Is it because you have a cooler laugh? Is it because you make yourself laugh more often? What is it?
I don't know. I'm generally a very happy person by nature, but there's a lot of work that goes into it, because as you get older, pressures get higher, you have more stress in your life, and I think,
amen.
And I think that I just, it's really important to me to continue laughing, and to never take myself too seriously.
I'm serious all the time.
You're not serious all the time. But I also think that that's one of the reasons why, as I get older, people comment more on my laugh.
Yeah.
It's because...
Oh, yeah, you don't see many, like, 40-year-olds.
No.
Or people your age.
Right.
I'm
37.
laughing. Like, no, because we associate... And again, it's sad.
Right.
But we associate laughter with kids.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, you shouldn't really be laughing when you're an adult.
Right.
But I think that's ludicrous.
I think so, too.
Outlandish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
We should be laughing every day. Like,
every day.
And partly with your influence, I've been really trying to do it more often.
Yeah.
In terms of like popping on some comedy specials or watching the same bit by Gary Goldman, which I love.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm trying to think what makes me laugh, like watching cat videos of,
yeah.
or people getting hit in the head.
Hilarious interviews
yeah.
gone wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is put on something funny. Because, like, really, the way you start your morning is so integral to how your day is going to go. So
you
for
find
me,
it's like meditation for you.
It is. It's part of a series of my sort of morning meditation. So I get up and I make a coffee. Coffee, as you know, is a huge part of my life.
Yeah.
And then I watch something funny, and then I do a bit of yoga, and then I do a bit of like a gratitude meditation. And
always in that order?
Always in that order. Yeah, always in that
coffee
order.
First.
Coffee first. Yeah.
I cannot laugh until I have coffee.
No, and then while my coffee is being made, I'll find what I want to watch.
So what do you? How do you know what you want to watch?
Well. It kind of depends, like you, when you're watching stuff on YouTube, it brings you like regular feeds of things.
Yeah.
And it depends on if there's like a certain comic that I'm like really into at a certain time, or I can never get enough of John Oliver. I just think he's absolutely hilarious, terrifyingly spot on with everything that he says. But I just find him absolutely hilarious. So he's one of my go-tos that I watch first thing in the morning.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's good.
And the good thing now is it's much easier, like, imagine if you had this routine 20 years ago.
I know.
You'd have to get, like, tape everything
yeah.
and then rewind stuff. And
on
like,
VHS.
Like, oh my God. And then you have to tape it over and put a little
yeah.
tape on top so you can tape it over.
Yeah.
But so the good thing is we don't have to do that.
No.
You can, everything's on your smartphone.
Yeah.
So who are the other go-tos other than Mr. Oliver? Is that his real name?
That is his real name.
Okay.
Yeah, that is his real name. Well, I love Will Ferrell, so anything that has to do with Will Ferrell, I love. And anything that's like a human fail, so any physical humor of any kind where, like, a kid's getting a ball in the face or someone's, like, tripping, I just lose it. Like, I can't even, that's probably, like, my biggest kryptonite when
yeah.
I see things like that. I just, I can't.
Have you seen the balls, like, the big,
yes.
the one with
yeah.
the
I can't handle those ones. Like, I will just lose it first thing in the morning.
Yeah. The best is when there's kids involved.
Yeah.
And, like, parents is, like, throwing a ball at the kid. Obviously not to, like, hurt him, but, like, he gets in the back of the head and it's, like, tumbling. Yeah.
That's
good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are my go-tos.
What is it, like, in your mind that makes you laugh? Like, how does that... Have you ever kind of wondered, like, the mechanism of laughter?
I haven't. And for me, it's just so automatic. Like, laughing is like breathing to me. Like,
yeah.
literally, there's...
Literally.
Literally,
yeah.
not a day goes by, and very rarely an hour, I would say, that goes by that I don't have some form of laughter. Yeah.
But again, like, I always have this debate, and sometimes with you, like, nature versus nurture. So
mm-hmm.
what is it?
I don't know. I would say it's a lot of my nature, because I mean it's definitely ingrained in me. I work really hard to be able to be sort of lighthearted and not take life as seriously.
And how do you do that?
Well, solitude is a big one for me, recharging my batteries, so that I'm able to sort of be the type of person that I want to show up to be. So I love being excited about life, and I love trying new things, and I love being happy. And I am baffled sometimes that people don't have more of an optimistic outlook on life, because it's hard work to put into it, but the benefit, it just is so overwhelming, and it is infectious and it's contagious, and you just want to do it all the time. But I would say that, like, solitude and recharging my batteries is, like, how I'm able to be so positive and to really, like, laugh as much as I do.
So you brought up a good point about kind of almost making yourself be happy.
Mm-hmm.
What are the keys to happiness for you?
I'm a big believer that, like, I am solely responsible for my own happiness. It's all about outlook. And I think it's really unfair to put...
I just wait for Oprah to make
yeah. and give you a car.
Yeah.
You get a car.
You
get a
car.
You get a car. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't think you're getting
no.
a car. No, I think
no,
it's really unfair
yeah.
to put your happiness in the hands of someone else, you know? So figuring out what makes you happy, and really just making sure that you can fit that into your day, because only you know the things that truly make you happy. So for me, you know, being in the outdoors, camping, being on my bike, watching funny things, my family, my nieces and nephews, like those are the things that like really make me happy.
Coffee.
Yeah. Ice cream. Yeah. And so it's about making sure that I have the time in my life to do those things. Because if I don't, then I'm not, I mean, there's that saying of you can't pour from an empty cup. So making sure that I'm filling my cup so that I can
pour from it
and be able to be the sort of person that I want to be.
What if your cup overfloweth?
Well, then just more for everybody, you know?
What if they don't want your cup of tea?
Then more for someone else, I guess.
So like in your happiness routine, other than like, what else is that other than some family time and some solitude? Is there anything else in your day to day? You mentioned yoga. Is there anything else that?
Well, recently I've been doing some solo camping trips on my motorcycle, which has been really, really incredible. That's so just,
pretty badass.
Yeah. So just picking a few, like I've just been doing, like provincial parks. But I'll go like 3 hours away and I'll just have like my tent and my sleeping bag and my coffee ready to go. And then spend a few nights.
So did you get reception out there so you can watch your videos?
I turn my phone off. Oh. Yeah. It's
so what do you do in the morning? How can you just laugh at the bear that's like falling over? Like, ah,
or the chipmunks that are like running around your feet. Yeah, absolutely. I probably don't laugh as much when I'm out there by myself. But that's,
you should like run head first into a tree and like laugh at that.
Well, I could, but I may knock myself out doing that. So, but I think that I need those times in downtime to not be laughing. Because if I just laughed all the time, like I would burn myself out.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be able to do it. Yeah. So like those are my moments where I just kind of check out and shut my phone off and I don't talk to anybody. Sit by a campfire. Sitting by a campfire is one of my favorite things to do. Like I could watch a fire for hours. So I always make sure that I have enough wood to have a fire at night. Go to bed nice and early.
That would be very tough.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, it's challenging, but
you bring an axe?
I don't bring an axe because I've just been doing provincial parks and you can't cut down the trees there. So they supply the firewood.
You can.
Well, I can, but anyways, I haven't gone that route. And making a fire first thing in the morning so that I can make coffee and have breakfast by the fire.
So self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, I'm going to tell you, if you watch this movie, Backcountry.
I know watching that movie.
On Netflix. Which is a Canadian movie, by the way. If you watch it, you will not do solo camping.
I'm not doing that.
It's filmed in North Bay.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I just can't. Pretty, I'm a big chicken when it comes to horror movies.
And so was I. I'm kind of surprised I watched it, but it was pretty good. It's like it's kind of weird because I love the outdoors, but then this thing made me like want to just stay indoors for a bit.
No, I'm gonna have ignorance as bliss in this one. Okay. I'll just
ignorance really is.
Yeah.
No, but it's the one nice thing about the outdoors. Like I was at spent the part of the weekend at my mom's. Got to do a nice hike in a provincial park. They call it national park in Quebec. But provincial park and got to, she's backs onto some woods, so got to hang out with Bo, my dog brother, and just kind of and then just like literally we were walking and then like someone makes a noise and it's like, what is it?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you see like it's a snake or you see it's, you know, birds, and like it's like, well, when you're, you know, and then you also have to be, because it's two things. I think one is the fact that they are there, and then two is actually noticing them,
right?
Because again, you can, a lot of people, I think, sleepwalk through life for the most part, unfortunately. I've been really trying to take a step back and kind of ease, like, kind of give my life a little bit more space, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And part of it has to do with solitude, part has to do, like, a lot of it has to do with the outdoors. And it goes back to what you said earlier, like, what makes you happy? I don't think most people know what that is.
Yeah.
And I think going through a depression a couple years ago, the only way I could find myself kind of come out of it was to work on making myself happy. Then I had to figure out like, what does it actually mean?
Right.
One of it was exercising. because to me, like, that, you know, makes me feel better, makes me happy. One of them was having coffee outside by myself.
Yeah.
One of them was, you know, walking in the woods. Like, I, you know, but again, it's, I think people don't take enough time to, like, kind of create that meaning, create that space so that they can actually do that.
And they use being busy as an excuse when most of their, and I was guilty of that as well. I was really bad. If I had to work, but I think a lot of people's busy is actually like being anxious about how much stuff they have to do. Okay. So, I mean,
watching 4 hours of Netflix
or being on Facebook or whatever their sort of poison is. But I think that, like, once you realize that you can carve out that time for yourself, if I had to work at night, there was no way I would just spin in my apartment and stress out about, like, all the things I had to do, and I wouldn't actually get anything done. But I would just be worried about, you know, life and what was happening. And once I started carving out more time for myself, whether that was like going for a quick swim or going for a run or going for yoga, it's when you realize how much time you actually have. If you just sort of, anytime you're saying yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And anytime you say no to something, then you're opening up the door for something else. So really being choosy about what you say yes to and what you say no to, and you'd be amazed how much time opens up for you.
Yeah. Well, I think you brought up a good point. It's all about priorities. Because we only get 24 hours a day.
Right.
Like, all of us. Doesn't matter how special you are.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how special your mom thinks you are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, okay, how do I want to spell these 24 hours?
Right. And people will always ask. Everyone's always going to ask, can you do this? Do you want to do this? And it's up to you. Yeah, absolutely.
And then you laugh at them.
Yeah.
You never laugh at them. Like,
I do.
Yeah.
And people who know me really well understand that when I say no to something, it has nothing to do with that person or that event. But it's just, I just can't, you know?
Barely, you can't.
I cannot. Yeah. So I make that choice to say no. And I'm unapologetic about it because it's my life. It's my time. And again, I'm responsible for my happiness. So you really have to take measures into your own hands.
What if someone wants to kind of get off the treadmill and carve out a little more space for themselves? How, like, what would be the baby steps for that?
Like 5 minutes. 5 minutes a day, picking something, an activity that you really like to do. And it doesn't, and then you can slowly start to build on it. You realize, oh, okay, that was 5 minutes. Like, I could do that again. And then it becomes addicting. The more you start carving out time, the more sort of protective you get around that time that you've carved out. And if you're able to shut off your phone, I would always suggest, like, shutting off your phone, because we live in a world where we are constantly able to be reached. And that's something that's very different for a lot of the older generation. But having a cell phone, always being able to be available, is one of the biggest detriments of our society right now, because we don't have the ability to have that off time, to have that time where no one can reach us and no one can get to us. So now you have to really make sure that, like, you are being responsible for that. Because the phone will ring in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing I've made that's really made a big difference is I've turned all my ringers off.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, I am very active on my phone, unfortunately, and or fortunately, whichever, depending on which side you sit. But I've been trying to be a little more mindful of it. And part, like, because a lot of people, they don't realize how much of a Pavlov's dog they are. Because as soon as they hear it, they reach for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm still bad, but I'm not as bad as I was, because my phone never rings.
Right.
So at least I don't have that impetus or that, you know, that stimulus that's kind of always dinging at me to do something.
Right. Another thing that I've tried to do when I'm out walking about is not having my headphones in or listening to music and trying to engage a little more in, like, my surrounding environment.
Do you talk to the birds?
I don't talk to the birds, but I'll try and say I notice the birds more, especially, like, being more in nature. If I hear something when I'm walking downtown, it definitely stops me in my tracks versus if I have my headphones on, I'm not listening to it. But the other thing is, like, trying to say hello to a few people. You know, when I'm in these campsites and when I'm, like, walking on the beach, or I went for a swim at Meech Lake this morning and had 3 different conversations with people, you know, and I don't think that's something that we do anymore as well, because we're so plugged in, we're so focused on sort of what is the most important in our life right now. But it's really eye-opening to have a conversation with a stranger or to say good morning to someone that you have no, like, you have no intent of ever seeing this person again, but it's just such a lovely sentiment to just walk by someone and smile and say good morning. But you'd be amazed how many people like avert eye contact or look down or cross the street.
She's coming towards me. She's looking at me. Oh my gosh, she's gonna eat me.
She's gonna say something to me.
Oh no.
But it's just, yeah, it's one of my challenges that I've been trying to incorporate is to smile and talk to at least three people that I don't know.
So that means you're going to go to more networking events?
No. These are like quick passing where I don't have to have small talk, but it's just a good morning, how are you, have a nice day kind of thing. And you'd be amazed, sometimes that can be the difference in your morning as well.
How about them Blue Jays? Yeah. You've also been known as a hug dealer.
Yes.
Can you tell me your kind of take on the therapeutic properties of hugging?
Well, for me, there's nothing, like a good laugh, there's nothing better than a good hug. And it's one of those things where I don't know, I just get so much comfort in the passing of energy of a really good connected hug where people are not, it's not the pat on the back, it's not the like awkward, where you're really stepping in and like giving that person, you're just like, you know, so it's, and
it's like your grandma, it's like, ah, come here, you little.
Yeah. And I'm a bit selfish in it because I really love receiving hugs. That's probably why I've become known as the hug dealer.
You even got a tattoo to that.
I do have a tattoo that says hug dealer. My mother loves that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not really. No.
But she loves all of me equally.
Yeah. She really does. But it's just one of those things where I think it just brings so much comfort, and there's so much that can be sort of like rejuvenated with a long hug, you know, and not one of these sort of like 2 second ones, but these ones were.
What's the minimum length for it to be a good hug?
Well, 10 to 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's a long time. If it people, is. Like, people it's don't realize.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. She's still hugging me. Oh my God. Yeah.
But once people realize, like, we're in such a rush to do everything. So the same thing with hugging. They go in for a hug and it's like, when they try and like, oh, you're like, no, I'm not done yet, you know? And then the best...
You're very selfish.
I'm very selfish. The best moment is when they just, you feel them just like relax and sink into it. And then that's when the magic really starts to happen. And you're just kind of like, okay, yeah. And you just feel calmer and more ready for sort of what...